Veterans salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
Madden!
Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal.
Hey Bunty, greetings from San Francisco on Sunday. We are back to our usual Sunday routine after, I think, quite a while. So how are things with you? Did you have some travel recently?
Yes, I had to travel to France on work, but now I'm back. Today was a fairly relaxed day. Sunday, I was discussing with you, watching some of the cricket, which is poised at a very interesting juncture, which is a really good thing. So it's been a good weekend. How was your weekend?
Oh, the weekend was like pretty good. We've had some like nice weather. Usually around this time, San Francisco's cold and foggy, but we've had some like nice weather. So, you know, the sun coming out was very good. And we had a fun thing at my son's, well, it's related to my son's school that, they do a lot of fundraising. So one of the events was a global food party. So, and I do some work on food and communication, and I do some work on globalization in the context of media. So for me, it was both good food and an interesting experience. So all good. So I, you know, speaking of travel, we also had a bit of travel, like earlier this year, where we met and our families met. There was a very funny tweet by this guy. His Twitter handle is Vishnu_somebody, and it's a very nice, endearing photo of his parents saying that my parents at 10:33 a.m. for a 3:30 p.m. flight, and the parents are, the bags are packed. They're sitting at the dining table. They're having a bite. His dad, very endearing Indian uncle, is focused on the mobile, looking mildly worried probably about the state of the nation. Auntie has a very genial smile on her face, and she's happy to be photographed, but it seems that she's also very amused at, probably the joke. Vishnu somebody, I'm very flattered to be followed by this person. Vishnu, shout out to you, and if you're listening, and I'm following him back. This tweet must have resonated with a lot of people, definitely in India and possibly in other parts of the world. And, this is a direct consequence of growing up in inefficient socialist or mixed economy India. When trains were and planes were like unreliable, it's also a particular generational skepticism and worry about the unreliability of state services.
I think this one is an interesting one, because for the first time, Rohit, what we are doing is we are taking an image that has been captured by somebody the India Explained account has run into, and we wanted to talk about this image and what it stands and what it says about a particular mindset. First of all, it's a brilliant image. It's not staged. It's spontaneous. I think I really like this kind of ethnographic photography, which is, capturing the moment in its kind of authentic self, not staged and selfie-like. So that's the first thing to say. It's a great photograph. And then it kind of sends, as you said, a set of signals about travel in India through the 70s and 80s, which by accounts persists. For that generation, this mindset persists. I guess one of the things that I'm very concerned about, and growing up in India, was this layers of anxiety that you had to deal with, because when you were traveling on trains, there was obviously you got a reservation or you didn't. Then there was this very weird category, I don't know whether you remember it, called reservation against cancellation, RAC, which entitled you to board the train, because it's a very bizarre Kafkaesque logic that would happen at a train station. You're stood there. You are told that you are waitlisted. Waitlisted means that if people... So I never really understood the whole kind of... the three things. You've got a ticket, you're waitlisted, and you're RAC. And I remember RAC was supposed to be the riskiest category of travel, which is like you're most inferior in the scheme of things, because waitlist is better than RAC, and confirmed is absolutely your guaranteed right
so
of travel.
Wasn't RAC slightly higher than waitlist? Because RAC.
Well, I don't know. I have forgotten. So you tell me. I've forgotten. But I knew there were three moving pieces. One was confirmation, reservation against cancellation, and waitlisting. And this is kind of. This is a signal towards the kind of anxieties that you had to deal with in day-to-day travel. What's your recollection?
Oh, completely. So the RAC thing I remember, and you know, you would see people who would like climb on and then eventually, you know, they would either get seats or not. And then there was a lot of wheeling-dealing going on at every level. Like, you know, whether it was an arrangement you worked out with the TT, and sometimes the TTs were very honest. I don't know why they were called TTs, because I would think they were called TCs, ticket checkers, but for some reason they were called TTs.
I think it probably became a mispronunciation over time. It started out as TC and then somebody twisted to TT.
Into TT, yeah. Because I remember, you know, there's an honest like guy. At some point in time, my mom was traveling with excess luggage. And when she got off the Rajdhani in Bombay, like the person told her that, ma'am, you have a lot of excess luggage. And, you know, my mom straight away like, you know, you can take some money. And my dad has always been like a straight arrow. Mom has also generally been straight arrow, but a little more practical about driving cops and all. So the guy just threatened, he said, ma'am, I could put you in jail for this and all. So my dad was getting very embarrassed. But anyway, the point I'm saying is that, you know, if the TT or TC was honest, the, you know, one of those guys who used to wear the brown topis and used to serve the thali, he would do some setting with you. But the interesting thing is that even with a confirmed ticket, there was always an element of anxiety. And I'll tell you why. Because let's say that you had your seat was 2D or 2E. I forget the numbers. It was never very clear which compartment you would be in, right? So, or what would happen is you would be a confirmed seat, but you could be in the first bogey or the third bogey. And what would happen is that after the, as the train would come in, there would be these cyclostyle sheets stuck on the outside of the train, and people would rush to see that, mera naam isme hai, or do I need to go to the next bogey? So, what would happen is that if there was a family, dad is going to one. And, you know, if I was old enough or my brother and I were old enough, we were going to the other one or mom was going to the other one, you know, plus someone is watching the luggage, you know, so it was a very like anxiety fraught process. Then there was the, you know, mad rush to board. And then there was the fight for, and this is I'm talking about just confirmed ticket, like, you know, whether it was Rajdhani or whether it was, you know, second AC sleeper. And first AC sleeper was very luxurious. It was like flying and, you know, growing up middle class. You know, for the bulk of our lives, we really couldn't afford, I would say, first class train travel or, you know, flights, you know, because my father was, you know, he worked for essentially for the public sector, quasi autonomous non-profit organization. And he was an honest person as, you know, work goes. So we didn't, you know, we could not really afford to fly or travel first class. So second AC and Cherka, there would be these fights and, you know, like tension about bags and all of that. And once the train journey would start, then everyone's, you know, tension levels would come down. So there was, this was one anxiety. The second was, am I going to make it to the, you know, airport if you were flying for business or otherwise? Or
but before we get on to flying, Rohit, 1 minute. On trains, you traveled when the tickets were little bits of cardboard?
Yeah, I remember those. Yeah.
Okay. So now, one of the things that would happen, and you're right, there'd be cyclostyle sheets which would tell you where you'd sat.
Yeah.
Once clutching your cardboard tickets, you'd get in, right? Then the tamasha would begin, where if there was a large family of 4 or 7 people traveling together, what they'd do is they would swap seats. Right. So you get to your seat, and they would have done a deal with somebody in another seat to have, basically it would be this kind of classic reallocation, informal reallocation that would happen. So you're stood there, and in India you can't say that, you know, it is 6E, I shall sit there, because it will create a lot of social unpleasantness, right? So what you try to do, and I remember traveling as a young person, I'd be very compliant. I'd say, okay, so you tell me, I have a berth. You tell me where I need to go. I'm not going to go around making arrangements. You've done this. You've instigated this. You tell me which berth. So then I would take that uncle and walk. And then uncle would realize that he'd set in motion a chain of kind of disorganization just because he was traveling with seven people together, right? So I think these kind of, you know, these kind of three layers of, so this, going back to this picture before we go into air travel, the layers of anxiety, even when computerization came in, just got, you know, it was more sophisticated. You had more visibility. You have a text message telling you when you're traveling, when not. So things have improved massively, granted. But that default setting of anxiety while traveling is going to be a very hard thing to shake off. Maybe another 50 odd years. Now, over to you to talk about airline travel.
Well, okay. I want to add a couple of things. One is common to airline travel and ticket travel, which is the getting to the airport itself, right? Or the train station. So in my case, you know, we, like, my dad would make sure that we were at the, you know, station, airport, whatever, 3 hours in advance. Like, as I said, air travel, like, when we relocated, my dad got transferred as a result of his job. So we relocated, you know, let's say from Rourkela to Calcutta, or from Calcutta to Bombay or whatever. Then there would be this, you know, I mean, you get to a station or you get to an airport early. You're there 3 hours, 3.5 hours before. You want to keep time for the jam on the Howrah Bridge, and then the train is another 3-4 hours late. So it's completely exhausting. And flights, they were, because it was a sort of unknown entity, you know, I mean, there was a certain level of, I'd say, sort of bewilderment. And one of the things is that the processes of flying in India, so I'd say the last, you know, 15, 20 odd years, 25 years maybe, I was flying, whether I was in the few years that I worked in India, or if you are traveling, you know, internationally, the procedures keep changing, you know. Sometimes they'll allow people into part of the airport to say bye. Sometimes if it's, you know, 15th August, 26th January around then, or there's some threat of violence or some intelligence tip they've received, people can't even come into the airport, right? At some point of time, there's an extra security check you have in India. Then there are these odd kind of services where, I don't know how it works, that they offer to shrink wrap your bag or whatever. Then, you know, there are a lot of these karmcharis who come and they want to help you. And sometimes they're like very helpful. And I've taken their services and I'm, you know, very happy to tip them in the way that, because in America also I would tip someone. And my point is, I'm going to tip you exactly the same amount. But sometimes these guys, they come and harangue you. So all of this again is a source of anxiety. Now, let me just, before getting back to you, raise one issue that in some way that generational anxiety, I think, passed on. But do you think it's, and, you know, we are now like mid-40s, right? So there are sort of, you know, many generations of people working, traveling, going to college, etc. after us in the Indian context. Do you think that the younger generations, it's as sort of anxiety-ridden, or as things have become better and more efficient, you know, even with like the criticism you hear of airlines, do you think that over a period of time that anxiety would have dissipated?
I think that it's very difficult to say. Maybe we should throw this question back open to the people who listen to this podcast and take their comments on it. I would imagine with the telephone and the internet and different types of tatkal systems, etc., things have improved. And, you know, there isn't that underlying level of anxiety. I think what people, the anxieties are probably different. So now probably the anxiety as you're going on a train journey, a long train journey across India, is, will I have phone reception? Will I be able to charge my mobile phone? You know, will I be able to buy food? Will the drinks be refrigerated? I don't know. I think the game has changed from when we used to travel. But you raise a very interesting point, whether or not the underlying anxious state is something that's peculiar to, say, both of us, or is it more widespread? That's what we're trying to explore. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, Rohit.
Yeah, and, you know, there's something about, I mean, like, you know, I have to say that, like, whether it's, you know, sort of my dad, or, you know, whether it was uncle in your case, I remember you had once said that, you know, this same kind of worry about the inefficiency of the state would also, like, apply to phone conversations, right? So I think we had laughed a lot about this, that you had told your dad you were coming by British Airways, BA, flight 286 or whatever. And I think you said your dad asked you, is it B for Bravo, A for Alpha? So, but, you know, this, now what would happen with my dad is that anytime there was an outstation call,
Yeah.
So in the 70s and 80s, you know that the phone system was like screwed beyond repair. Okay, so connection was poor and you had to call and then, you know, you had to book a call and they would dial back. But after the Rajiv Gandhi Sam Petroda revolution, ISD, STD calls became more efficient. So, you know, the connection was very clear. But I think my dad was socialized into this habit where if he was talking to someone in another city, the volume of the voice would go up automatically. Huh? Yes, yes, can you hear me? Now, you know, like, boss, my dad, we lived in the 12th floor in Cuff Parade. I think, like, people on the 4th floor could also hear my dad. So, you know, I have a kind of, like, in the same way that Vishnu's photo, that Vishnu underscore somebody's photo of his parents endeared me, I now think back, you know, with affection about many of these things. I think it's a generation-wide thing. I think, you know, maybe it's something common to that generation and the subsequent generation, which is us. You know, but the other thing I've basically realized now is that there's this other idea that in India, that traveling, and I want to sort of say here that I understand that people have budgets and, you know, I've been, my life in India, I come from a middle-class background, so I'm very, you know, acutely aware of this. When I started working, living in Bombay, again, you know, you function on a budget and so on. So I get that. But I think even people who have some disposable income, the idea is that on the travel itself, you should, if possible, spend the least amount of money. And, you know, and I, like, that's something that, you know, my dad had a different philosophy, which is great, which is that, okay, this is going to be stressful, but once you're in the train, then, you know, every station, okay, get vada pav, get chips, this, that. So that memory I enjoy very much. And now I basically realized that, you know, instead of trying to like cram 8 bags into one car,
right.
You know, get something comfortable. And I always have a difference of opinion with this gentleman who he drives the car for our in-laws when we come to Bombay. So I always tell them get 2 cars, and you know, fair enough, we get 2 cars. But the second driver we hire is a very interesting guy called Rasool Bhai. He's making money. This is an opportunity for him to make 1500 bucks or whatever. He's getting you money, but he's saying that, saab, aap faltu mein second gaadi laya, ek gaadi mein sab kuch fit aata. And I was like, boss, yeah, I understand. But, you know, if you're going to shove like, if you're going to shove like, you know, 2 suitcases on top of the car tied with rope, and then, you know, I'm sitting on top of my father-in-law, and, you know, my son is hanging out of the window, what is the point? You know, but his point is that aapne do gaadi leke waste kiya. I said, Rasool bhai, aap paisa bana raha hai. Saab, wo paisa ka baat nahi hai. Main aapka paisa bacha raha hai. I've had this same conversation. I'm not kidding, Monty. I've had this same conversation the last 5 times with Rasool bhai that have gone back. So now, you know, for instance, if I have to go to the airport, my point is that, you know, instead of calling a cab, I'll call a limo service. And again, not to be snobbish, not to be snooty, I get it. But if you have to spend a few bucks more, take the whole process as travel. You know, take the whole process as the journey. That's my philosophy. What are your thoughts about this?
Well, I think you make an interesting point. You know, as needs must, and different people come to it differently. I was in another life, I was advising a very large global airline on how to improve travels. And we used to call it the travel ribbon, you know, from your home to your destination. The airline just plays a part in it. You know, there are other things that happen around it. And, you know, one of the things that you have very little control over, most airlines can control how they take you to the airport if you're traveling in the front of the plane. But once you get there, whether you're traveling in the front of the plane or the back of the plane, wherever you're sat, the variables are just as chaotic for everybody. You still have to go through immigration. You still have to, you know, collect your bags. The bags will come. Your bags may come out earlier, but if it takes half an hour for the bags to come from the tarmac to the belt. So I don't know. I mean, I think in a long-winded way, what I'm trying to say is that ideally, you should take control of every element of your journey, as I do. Nowadays, as I travel, I try and keep a handle on all aspects of the travel that I'm doing till such time I reach home. But I also think that there is much fun to be had because the same spirit of adventure that we abandon when we're traveling in India makes for really beneficial experiences when you're traveling in another part of the world. So I was thinking in Geneva when we were traveling, a certain amount of casualness and abandon actually helped us discover and see new things.
Right.
But it's something that probably you can't do in India, because the moment you go, or maybe you can do, but you take a certain set of risks and things going wrong, missing connections, waiting overnight, you know, not being in a safe public space, all of those things. So I think in India, this idea of controlling the variables in what little manner. I've got a very endearing story about this. I was setting out, in fact, I was probably coming to see you in Mumbai once from Calcutta. It's a 36-hour train journey. And one of the, and I was traveling like the non-AC, like the normal standard coaches.
Student,
so I was with this very nice uncle who had two things. One was a radio, which he would tune into because, you know, it would play no matter where you are, it would play Prasar Bharati. That was one. And the other thing he had was he had this like little green towel, right, with which he would like methodically clean the area of the seat that he was in, right, and the surrounding areas. This is like slightly OCD and a cleaning fetish. But I was asking him, that why are you cleaning this corner? Because the rest of the train is filthy. And he's saying, look, I don't care about the rest of the train. I want to be the place that I am sat for the bulk of the 36 hours. I want it to be of my standard. You know, he kept on saying, it is my standard. But this was in like a non-AC regular thing. He was wiping things with a towel and saying, this is my standard. So
fair enough,
I just found that endearing. And, you know,
I mean, you know, there's something to be said about taking pride in your surroundings and having a public sense. And, you know, it's wherever you are, whatever your setting is. I mean, and you know, that's great. And the thing is that, you know, in some ways I will say that, yeah, you have a lot of like, you know, squabbling and this and that on trains, but you also have, you know, people like, you know, kindly adjust. They do kindly adjust.
Yes.
You know, my mom again, like, has a habit of like, you know, chatting with people, and whether on flights or she's actually made some very good friends, people she's met on trains originally, and, you know, they've become friends for life and so on. I dread, you know, those kind of conversations, to be honest. You know, even in an Uber, I mean, an Uber driver who doesn't chat, but like picks me up, drops me off, 5 stars. That's me. But anyway, that's like, I think, a whole other can of worms. So, yeah, this was, you know, fun. I mean, I think, you know, I'm not like a huge traveler. I've done a bit of traveling. In the US, I, you know, I'm sort of a California freak, you could say. The cult of California kind of keeps me here a lot. Traveled a bit in the US, a bit internationally, nothing close to what you have done. Do you think different communities or different national communities, or even in the Indian context, different ethnicities have different travel idiosyncrasies, like Punjabis, Bengalis, or, you know, Greeks, Germans, etc.?
I think you're on to something there. I think maybe this is a separate episode that we should do. I think there are, you're so right, there are different communities that travel differently. And there are certain kind of expectations of, there are certain male behaviors and female behaviors that women who are like very capable in other aspects of their life suddenly start feigning helplessness in an airport terminal, right? Which, and I struggle, this is a person who's probably running a business, and just because she's got to check in an extra bag, she made the gender card that, you know, I'm a lady traveling by myself, you know, but in all other aspects, you know, she will never play the gender card. Anyway, so there are lots of things going on. Italians make for very strange travel companions because they have a certain lackadaisical approach to travel. And I've flown Alitalia once, and I promised myself I will never again, because, you know, when you are, it's not a question of a substandard airline. It's just the question that, you know, the people who are supposed to have technical knowledge rely on luck. You know, that scares me, you know, because... So, but we can talk about these things in another episode. We've talked long enough about this one.
We really should. Yeah. I remember that, you know, Bombay, I'll just end with this. It's bizarre that near Marine Drive, there are these offices. This is prime real estate, boss. Iran Air. From the time I lived in Bombay, which was 1991, I moved to Bombay, lived there, cuff parade for about 7 years, and then came back and lived in another part. And then, you know, every time I've gone back, I've seen that Iran Air office open, and maybe once or twice I've just happened to see someone like pull shutters and go inside. It's prime real estate. I don't know. Iran Air is not functioning. And then Moroccan Air also has an office which really doesn't run like airlines. So I don't know what's going on with these airlines. But I don't know. I just remember that once when you were in Bombay, we were going by and you made a remark that, you know, this is actually the safest airline, but you know, we'll visit.
Yeah. So there's so many different ways on these airlines. Yeah, but look, chalo, I think we've spoken long about this episode. Look, and again, a shout out to that fantastic gentleman for that amazing picture, which captures so many sentiments all together in one image. It's a really poignant and interesting image for us to talk about. And I really enjoyed talking about that image. And I think hopefully we'll talk about many more images like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Over to you. Ciao.
This was a lovely episode. Thanks, Bunty. Take care, man. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Rohit and Bunty would like to sign off. Please stay tuned. Follow us on India Explained on Twitter. Keep listening. Thank you for all your support.
CODA salutes those who've served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.